5.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Chapter 15 of Genesis. Avraham Avinu was just miraculously defeated an army, or an axis of armies. And he has experienced many amazing miracles and many amazing events that unfolded. And so, chapter 15 opens up with the words, Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela. After all of this happened, this is the postmortem. Hayadvar Hashem el Avram, the word of Hashem was directed towards Avram, b'machaze, in a vision. Leimer, as if to say, Al tira Avram, do not fear Avram. Anoichi maginloch, I will be a shield for you. Schorcho harbe ma'id, there is an enormous amount of reward that's coming your way. So this is a pasuk that really demands an explanation. Achar hadvarim ha'ila, says Rashi, kol mokim shenemar achar. Whenever we have a new episode, a narrative, opening up with the words achar, which means after, so we always have to assume that it's samuch. Achar means it's immediate. Acharei, if it says the word acharei, then muflag, then there's a significant amount of time that elapsed before this next episode is being introduced to us. And here, the Torah emphasizes achar hadvarim ha'ila, that this is not achari, this is not a later episode, this is immediate. So it's very, very, very near, time-wise, to after Avraham Avinu succeeds in these miraculous battles, achar hadvarim ha'ila, achar shanasa lei nes, after this miracle happened, nezeh, shahorag es hamalachim, that he killed the four kings who had previously vanquished the five kings. V'hoya doyeg, Avraham was now concerned. V'oimer, he was saying, Shema kibalti sachar al kol tzidkosai. Maybe from this point onward, I have spent all of my accrued merits. And as such, all of the other rewards that were promised me are no longer applicable. Hashem promised him children. Hashem promised him a future nation. They would inherit this land. But now Avraham thought, I think I spent everything I had. Like the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos on page 32, that if a miracle happens to somebody, assume it's being taken from your account. You're spending your account, Avraham says. I think I spent my account, that's it. L'chach omer le'amokim. The Almighty comes to Avraham Avinu and says, Al tira, do not be fearful, Avraham. Nothing is spent. Anoichi mogin lach, I am going to shield you. Okay, so what does that mean? Altira means don't be afraid that your merits are spent. And then he says, I'm going to shield you. Shield you from what? What? This issue is not being shielded. Avraham is not afraid of something. Avraham is afraid his merits were spent. So Rashi says, there's another issue here. Avraham had a secondary concern. Namely, the miracle that happened had taken away from the merits that were accrued, and future promises would now not be fulfilled necessarily. But furthermore, Avraham was concerned that maybe he had done the wrong thing. And behaving inappropriately would now earn him chas v'shalom enmity, or something bad that would happen to him from Hashem or from others, as we'll see in a moment. So Rashi says, on a literal level, this means min ha'enish. Avraham Avinu is not concerned about literal issues or people threaten him. He's afraid of punishment from Hashem. Shaloi te'one shal kolaisen hanafashes shaharakta. Avraham Avinu is concerned he killed many people. This was a serious battle. Many, many people were lost. Many lives were lost. And Avraham was directly responsible. He felt bad about that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Uma sha'ata deig, and your secondary worry, that you're concerned, al kibul schorcha, and you're worried about getting reward, schorcha harbe meid. So in other words, it was two things that Avraham was concerned with. Achar advarim eila, the word of Hashem comes in a machazer. Hashem tells him, al tira, don't be afraid, anochi magilach, I am, you're going to shield you. You have nothing to be concerned with. You will not be held accountable. It wasn't your choice. You didn't look for this battle. It came to you. And your secondary concern is maybe you spent your merits. Because Baruch Hu says, don't worry about it. There's plenty more. You did not spend your merits on this. All of the promises will be fulfilled. So interestingly, what was Avraham Avinu first concerned with? First concern with getting punished. First he did maybe the wrong thing. And then even if he doesn't get punished, the merits are spent. So the truth is that we have a dispute in the Medrash whether Achar Hadvarim Ha'ila is Muflag or Samach, but Rashi clearly follows the opinion of Rav Huna rather than of Yudan, and he says, no, Achar is Samach. What is a Machazeh? Rashi doesn't tell us, and truth be told, whatever. There's been numerous kinds of words used to describe the prophecies that Avraham received. In the beginning of the parsha, Avraham is getting audios, not videos. And now he has AV capability. It says Hashem appears himself. This is the first time it's a machazeh. Ramban says that a machazeh means a nevuah bayoyim. This is the first time Avraham Avinu received a prophecy during the day. Not a nocturnal prophecy, but rather a prophecy when he was awake. So that's the idea of machazeh. The Bechor Sher takes a very different approach. He says, a chizoyoin is a dream, like a chizoyin laila, Chizkuni says, and therefore the Bechor Sher says this too was like a dream that Avraham Avinu saw. Not a vision, but rather a dream. At any rate, so Avraham Avinu has these promises. Hashem says not to be afraid. And the Medrash Rabbah says, Reb Levi said, maybe harag ish tzaddik, maybe he killed a righteous person. Maybe not everybody was wicked. The Medrash Rabbah offers another opinion. It's possible Avraham was concerned that maybe some of the people who he had killed, their relatives would now come to exact payment from him. Rashi seems to favor the first approach, the approach of Rav Levi. He seems to follow the approach that the issue is the concept of punishment from Hashem. The Targum Yonason ben Uzziel emphasizes here that Avraham was concerned perhaps not with killing because he killed in self-defense, but he was worried about Chilul Hashem. He's devoted his whole life to sanctifying God's name. He would say, now people will say, the servant of God is a mass murderer. All he does is kill. And so this would cause the opposite of respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Avraham is concerned with. The Gemara in Darim says something amazing. Avraham Avinu, he ever saw himself responsible of utilizing every kind of situation he had. He had captured all these people. And what did he do with them? In yesterday's reading we read, he returned them to the king of Sodom. He said, here, kachas nefesh. I don't want the money. He says, I want the people. And then Avraham said, after 1 second, I had these people. They were under my control. They were sodomite people, meaning to live a sinful life. I could have positively influenced them. And then I went and I just returned them. Maybe I was supposed to influence them. Now, truth be told, Judaism does not endorse Khomeinism. We don't believe in forcing people into anything. We believe in inspiring people. So the notion of forcing people to give tzedakah, which is maybe some, that's how some see government, but the notion of forcing people into righteousness, which is how certain fascist systems, theocracies work, is never the way of Judaism. In Judaism, it's about inspiration. It's about you should engender a desire within people that they should want to serve Hashem. But Avraham is just at the beginning of this. And religious coercion is something that has plagued humanity for a very long time. Avraham doesn't know. Here's the source. Avraham says, maybe they did the wrong thing. Maybe you should have forced them to follow Hashem and abandon their idols. Hashem says, relax, Avraham. Schorcha harbe meid. You're doing great. Your approach is the right approach. Barbanel says, maybe I shouldn't give them back their money. Give back their money. What are they going to spend it on? The casinos, brothels, who knows? This is Las Vegas. Sodom. This is a sin city. Avraham says, maybe I should have kept the money. Get the money, I give it to tzedakah. I'll find a holy purpose for it, but give it back? That's like, what was I thinking? Barbanel says, that was Avraham's concern. Now, Chadosh Baruch Hu promises, relax. Everything he did was the right thing. He didn't have a choice. It wouldn't be appropriate if you would take away all the money or force the people into anything. Ultimately, you have followed the proper path. You've done everything as per the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Barbanel says, you're worried about the money. You're worried about the people. So I'll give you more money than you ever could have had. And you'll be more successful in the end. You'll get through to the people. You follow your way. Anochi Magen Lach. I am your shield. In the end, reward will be coming to you. So Avraham Avinu says, okay, this is very nice. So reward's going to come to me and everything will be great. He says, Vayemer Avraham. Here Avraham Avinu kind of, he lets the facade drop and he pours forth his pain in his heart. He says, Hashem Alikim, Ma Titanli, what are you going to give me? But I'm childless. Uven Meshek Besi, Hu Damesek Eliezer. So here I am, and you're going to give me all these rewards. Who's going to get it after me, though? I'm going alone. Now, there's a long Rashi that explains the meaning of Hariri and how that works out to be childless. I'm not going to go through the Rashi this morning. I'm going to take it to the next Rashi, Ben Meshek Besi. What does this mean? So Unkelus renders it that the idea is Parnasa Hodein Divivesi, which means it's true, my affairs are directed by Ben Meshach. He's my CEO. As Rashi says, Shekol Beisi Nizoin Alpiv. He's the one who runs all of the practical affairs of Avram's household. Kimoi, for example. Va'alpicha Yishak. Here this is later on when Yosef is appointed as viceroy. And the Pharaoh says, I'm not abdicating. I do not give you my crown, but you are the new CEO. Everything will run as per your instructions. You're in charge. And so this is really like the first description of a chief executive officer. Avraham Avinu says, of course, it's my household, but Eliezer is running day-to-day affairs. And this is, Eliezer is apotropa sheli. He's the one responsible for my residuals. Ilo hayo li ben, if I would have a child, so hayo ben b'ni memune al sheli. I would appoint my child. My child would take over the business. But right now, all the business is being run by Eliezer. Avraham Avinu is not a young man. He's already an older man. He's already slaved away, put his hours, weeks, months, and years into building whatever the company is. And at this point, Eliezer is running day-to-day affairs. He's young, he's got lots of energy. And Avraham Avinu says, I don't have a son to give the position to. So that's the first thing he says. He says, I don't have a son. And the one who runs all my affairs is Eliezer. Ben Meshach Beisi is Damesek Eliezer. Who is Damesek Eliezer? So Rashi says that Damesek could be a place, which would mean Damascus. Eliezer was from Damascus. Laha Targum, according to the Targum, mi Damesekaya. He came from Damascus, which shows us that Damascus is an extremely ancient city.
Is it the same one?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Possibly. Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. It's very possible. Ulefi Medrash Agada, and according to the Medrash Agada, this is a name that Avraham Avinu gave Eliezer because of Damascus, rather than he's from Damascus. So this is interesting how Pshuta Shel Mikra works. When we're suddenly saying Eliezer of Damascus, so okay, Eliezer of Damascus, probably because he comes from Damascus. But the question is, who cares? It doesn't. Avraham is not called Avraham of Ur, or Avraham of Kazdim, or Avraham of Choron. Like, why does Eliezer have to get stuck with the name Damascus? What's so great about that? So therefore, Rashi introduces the Midrashic interpretation. The Midrash Agada says that he chased the kings, Sherodaf HaMelochim Ad Damesek. He chased those kings all the way as far as Damascus. And because Eliezer was the one who was right along with him, therefore the miracle of the battle is why he called him Eliezer of Damascus. He called him not because of his birthplace or where he was from, but rather because of the events that had occurred along with Eliezer. He kind of attached Eliezer to that miracle, which from a different perspective makes much more sense. Simple read is from Damascus, but the deeper read is, no, this is a man who Hashem has included in the miracles that happened to me. Ubi Gemara Shalano, Rashi says, this is all the Targum. But you should know that not in the Targum of Medrash, but in the Talmud Bavli, our Gemara in Maseches Yuma on page 28, Darsho, we expound the words Damesek as a Notarikon. Notarikon is what we call a conjunctive statement, a word which is conjunctive, which is made kind of a quasi-acronym of sorts. And the conjunctive word is Damesek, stands for Doila Umashke Mitairas Rabbi La'achedim. Damesek is Doila Umashke. Eliezer was the one who dipped the bucket in and then provided the water, not the physical water, not H2O. He was the one who doled out the teachings of his teacher, of Avraham Avinu. In other words, Eliezer was not just involved in business affairs, Eliezer was involved in Avraham Avinu's spiritual affairs, in his holy work, in his work of disseminating a message of godliness. Eliezer was the one who was able to represent Avraham. People oftentimes maybe didn't understand Avraham. He was what's called in the Gemara a meturgeman. He was the spokesperson. He was the interpreter. He was able to take Avram's ideas and bring them down into a palatable, everyday kind of lexicon that people could relate to and be inspired by. So Eliezer, from this perspective, does far more than simply run Avram's affairs. He's actually his chief disciple. He's the disseminator of Avram's of Abrahamic teachings. So Avraham Avinu says, like, here I have. It's all I get is Eliezer. Who am I going to give everything to?
Why does he have to expand? Just why can't he just say, "And I'm childless"? And that's self-understood. What the child.
That is a good question. So Avraham Avinu says, "I'm childless," and it's not Lot, it's not a relative, it's a foreigner, the one who stepped into his position. Like we share no familial bond whatsoever. Avraham Avinu had a family. Don't forget, he had a nephew, and that's common that if somebody doesn't have a child, so you kind of bring a niece and nephew into the business.
Then that's also because they split apart.
But Avraham emphasized this. That's part of Avraham's pain. He wasn't happy. He went and rescued Lot, but Lot wasn't exactly signing up to work for Avraham. Do you know where the name nepotism comes from? No. You know what it means, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
To appoint somebody within your family to a position.
Nepotism means to appoint somebody within your family to a position that he or she is not worthy of.
Okay.
If somebody is worthy of a position, that's not called nepotism. That's appropriate. Where does it come from, nepotism? The word nephew in Italian is nepo. And the popes did not have any sons, at least not officially. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't know. But officially, they didn't have any children. Correct?
Correct.
So what did they have?
I guess.
They had nephews. Who did they push into the position? The nephew. No son. You push the nephew. And many times these nephews were totally unworthy. So therefore, that's where the terminology developed, nepotism. Pushing the nephew in. Avraham says, "I don't have a nephew. I mean, I have a nephew, but he's not involved. He doesn't want any part of this. I got this guy from Damascus. So that's all I got." Vayemin Avraham, "Hein li lo nasata zera. You never gave me any seed. Vihine ben Basi." So this guy is Yerushalayim. He's going to end up inheriting me. So what are you telling me? I'm going to give you all kinds of wonderful things. Yeah, and it's going to who? To the Damascus guy. I mean, it's nice, but I wish I had a family. I wish I could go to my family. I don't have family. So Avraham feels bad. So Hashem says, not so. Vayoytze oyse hachutza. He takes him outside. Vayoymer, and he says, Habetna hashamayimah. I want you to look heavenward. You start counting the stars. Can you count them? And he said to him, you started counting stars. You see the impossibility of counting stars. That's the way your progeny will be. So we have now this guarantee and this promise. And the Torah kind of concludes by saying, Vehemen Bashem. Avraham just believed. He didn't ask for any signs. Hashem valued that. He considered that very special. Avraham Avinu said, maybe my merits were spent. Maybe I'm not getting these promises. And I don't have any children. Avraham said, don't worry. Every amazing thing's coming your way. But he said, but I don't have any children. And Hashem said, take some outside. Count the stars. Just as you can't count them, so will be your children. And Avraham just accepts that. So what's going on with this business of going outside? Hein l'nesata l'zera, Rashi says, or matayelas. What's the value of all this? B'chol shatitnali. Ayoytze yoyse achutze, Rashi says, l'fi pshuta yoytze yoy mea holi l'chutz. Avraham was inside is in a covered area, a tent. He said, come, let's go for a walk outside. Why? Because they have the show and tell. They can actually point. See the stars? Count the stars? Can you? That's how your children will be. But inside the tent, he couldn't see it. He didn't live in a planetarium. So therefore, lires hakechavim, to see the kechavim, ulafi medrashai. That's a little strange. Did God need to take Avraham for a walk in order to demonstrate to him that there are many stars? And if you tell a person there are many stars, is it not good enough? Avraham had to count them. It's the first time he raised his eyes heavenward. It's like, what is going on here? So here, once again, Rashi invokes a medrash agada, a medrash. Omar lei, he said, say me itztagninus shulcha. Itztagninus is the discipline of astrology. And there's something to it. You cannot dismiss it. And Avraham Avinu had learned about astrology from his predecessors, from previous generations. And Avraham knew, Shara'isa b'mazalis, you saw in the stars, Shein chasid lahamid ben. Avraham is never going to have a child. So Hashem says that's true. Avraham ain loy ben. Avraham will never have a child. Aval Avraham. Ah, yes, he's going to have a child. In other words, so what does it mean? Say meets Tagnina Shocha, go out of your astrology. Transcend your astrology. You will transcend the astrology. It's written in the stars. The stars do have a message, but that's not your message because you'll be somebody else. V'chein Sarai loy teled. Sarai will not have a child. Avol Sarah teled, but Sarah will. Ani kodeh lechem shem acher. I'm going to call you another name. V'yishtana ha-mazel. And your fortunes will change. So your original fortunes, no children. Your new fortunes, your new personality, we download a new operating system. You're going to become a new person. And then you're going to be able to do amazing things. Davar acher. Finally, lastly, why does Avram bother himself with astrology? God promises you. You are a God. How could you do this? This astrology says otherwise. Why would God be even issue even? So he believes in God. God is in control, controls everything. Avram is the one who said that Yesh Balabayis Labirazu, that there is a master, there is a driver, there is a creator in control. And now Avram Avinu says, but the stars say otherwise. So therefore Rashi introduces a third interpretation. And that is Haitziyei Mechaloloi Shalolam. He took Avram out of what we call the atmosphere. He raised him above the stratosphere. He took him into outer space. And he said, stop looking up at the stars because Lashon Habata is Milmaila Lamata. The word Habata, when you gaze, people gaze up. They look at the stars, they gaze at the stars. A star gazer. So usually we think of looking Milmaila Lamata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now tells him, no, don't look l'mayla l'mata, but on the contrary, look instead, the idea of look down. Don't look up, look down. Well, how can you look down? Nobody looks down at the stars, unless you're above the stars. So Avraham Avinu was taken for a galactic journey. And from outer space, Hashem showed him the stars from the other side. And from the other side, he saw a very different picture. So oftentimes we see things from our vantage point, from down below, looking up. That's what we see. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avram and he showed him the flip side of things. And in the flip side, a very different picture emerged.
That's interesting.
So Avram is the first astronaut.
Yeah.
See, Star Trek starts in Genesis. Leonard Nimoy was not the first guy in outer space. I know he wasn't in outer space. All right, so let's take a look now. The Rebbe is going to analyze this secondary answer, the business of your mazel. Avram won't have, Avraham will, Sarai won't have a child, Sarah will. The Rebbe says, Hadavar derish bir. This requires further elucidation. Page Kuf Samach Zayin, Simen Yudalad. Harei Teichen Hashem is Hachadoshim. The content of these new names, Avraham and Sarah, Meira al Shlitasam Shal Avraham v'Sarah al Kol Ha'umais. It's indicative of Avraham and Sarah not raising a family, but rather Avraham and Sarah influencing all nations of the world. Kedivrei HaKosov, as we'll soon see later on in the Pasuk, which is just a short two chapters away, that the Pasuk will say, V'hoya Shimcha Avraham. From now on, would your name will be Avraham. Why? Ki av hamoin goyim nesaticha. Because I have made you the father of many nations. V'chein b'sara, it says, lo tikra es shma sarai. Do not say, my princess. The mashma sarai li, my princess v'leilachirim. No. Sara stam shma, she's the people's princess. Sara al kol, everybody's princess. Everybody's leader. So in that case, Avraham and Sarah both have a message which is global. It's a universalist perspective, not a parochial perspective. And yet the promise is extremely parochial. The promise is they will have children. And the name means that they will have global influence. So the question is, how does a promise that's parochial in particular, how does that find expression in a blessing that seems to have a message that's entirely universal? And they could really develop this question, but due to the shortness of time, just think about it yourself. There's something extremely oxymoronic about the change of name that says anything but the particularism of a Jewish people.
What, just Sorry, but the changing the name, isn't that just to infuse them with the spirituality?
Yeah, but if you change the name and you're giving them the spirituality and the name is interpreted and has meaning, wouldn't it make sense that the meaning would reflect the blessing that's coming? The whole reason the name is being changed is to have children. Your old mazel doesn't allow you to bear children. Avram was already effective. He was already influencing other people. Sarah was already influencing other people. Avram megayeres ha'anoshim, Sarah megayeres ha'anoshim. Avram was converting the men, Sarah was converting the women. They were already very effective. The one thing they never had before was children. The name is supposed to represent the paradigm shift. Well, for heaven's sake, if it represents a paradigm shift, then let it represent the paradigm shift. Yesh levay al pi divrei chazal, the Rebbe says, the explanation could perhaps be in, as per the words of our sages, Shakola Briya, right in the beginning of the of his commentary on the book of Genesis, Rashi talks about this. The entirety of creation is Bishvil Yisrael, for the purpose of the Jewish people. What does that mean? What does that mean, Jewish particularism? It's all about us. Hainu, that is to say, Shebnei Yisrael him ikiru matara habriya kulam, we are the primary focus of creation. V'heim af mitzuvim lahashpia al ha'olam kulay. We're the primary actors, and our job is to bring everybody else into tandem with the service of Hashem. Our job is to get everybody else into this. Tziva, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, in chapter 8, the Rambam says, quote, Tziva Meish Rabbeinu mipi ha'gvura, Meish Rabbeinu was instructed from the source of might, from the mouth of might, lochof es kol bay oilam, to influence all those in the world, lekabel mitzvah shenitztavu bnei noach, to accept upon ourselves the commandments, the mitzvahs that the children of Noach were given. The children of Noach is a euphemism for all of humanity. In other words, the job of the Jewish people is universal. Our role, despite our particularism, is universal. Of course we need to worry about Am Yisrael. If there's no Am Yisrael, then there's no influence on the nations of the world. We cannot abandon, chas v'shalom, our particularism and embrace universalism. However, there is a message of particularism for the Jewish people, which is, in its fullest fulfillment, is decidedly universal. Our job is to influence everybody. It's only if we don't take care of our own, if we don't take care of our own concerns, if we don't have an Am Yisrael, we can't influence everybody. But Am Yisrael is supposed to influence everybody. That's the destiny of Am Yisrael. Of course, influence that meaning with a message of divinity and the message of morality and the message of monotheism from the Torah. It's thusly understood that what's the appropriate preparation for ushering Yitzchak into this world? The beginning of the future Yitzchak is Shinui Shmoi Sehem, is the change of names of Avraham and Sarah, Shetoichdam, that the content of, of that name change, Yevata, will express Hashlita v'ha'ashpa, the influence and the transformative effect al ha'olam kulay. So yes, Avraham and Sarah receive a changed name which represents universalism, because the particularism of the parochial blessing of Yitzchak is that Yitzchak should be a prime mover and shaker, that Yitzchak should become a universal and global influence. And that was the case with the beginning of our nation, and that remains the case until the end of time. That's our job. These are the last days of Golos. Our job is not only to live as a proud, strong Am Yisrael, but also to do everything we can to influence all the nations of the world, that they too should follow the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They too should live a life that's filled with mission, meaning, and purpose.